Welcome to the August 14, 2018 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change. We can delete introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. We don't have any this week.
Okay. Entertained a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Colfer.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of July 31st. Any corrections, questions, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
Well, I'm opening one right now, Mr. President.
Okay, you got something?
No, that's okay. It's from the Historical Society of Ocean View. Grateful for their generous contribution.
There you go.
And they had it addressed to George Cole and Bob Arlett.
I'll take Bob.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyway, thank Ocean View.
Anything else from council? Okay, public comment, Mr. Guy.
I have been called worse.
Well, it's critical we get your name right.
That's right.
Paul Rieger.
Good morning, Paul Rieger. 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Basically, last time, put it in writing, I sent an email a little bit about Board of Adjustment questions concerning the issues. At the last, the August 6th meeting, there was two undersized non-conforming lots that came in on the undersized lot coding for the 5-foot setbacks, side setbacks, the front setbacks, and the rear setbacks. Still, both of those cases are completely free and clear lots with a new structure being built on it, which during all the hearings at the public hearing, the county council hearing, other public comment sessions, it seemed like that an envelope, that's the size of the property. We changed it, we fixed it. The county's intent, which I believe is to keep the building, the structure in the envelope. It seemed to be very plain, very precise in that. But my question is we have the planning director, who is their secretary, on the Board of Adjustment. We have the assistant county attorney on the Board of Adjustment also. Out of all of this back and forth, I have not heard or seen anywhere they question or bring up what the intent of that code was to the board members to know where they stand. Also, if they have in the back important notice for variance applications, which is very precise and come in for it. You go through it, it says, if you cannot convince the board that your request meets all of the above, then it's unlikely that a variance will be granted. That really should be changed. Just tell us what you want, and you can just pay the toll of the administrative fee, and you will get your variance. I just hope going forward that the tail doesn't wag the head anymore, and that the director steps up and says the intent of the county, if you so can forcibly, however you can put it, to put out in public that you are still the head of the government and they're down there on the tail end of it, and the intent of the code was wrote for that benefit. It wasn't a code that was a minor code change. You made it so everybody can go to the 5 feet in that. You took the 10 feet to 5, the 15 down to 5. You made everything go, gave everybody a Christmas present. There's no reason that that code should not be upheld by the Board of Adjustment. For those two, if you can, you should listen to the Board of Adjustment case 12175, which was an earlier case that I had spoken, started reading off the new ordinance as it was wrote up under the ordinances, because it was not even up underneath 115 on the code as being changed on there as of that date of that hearing. So I didn't even know if the Board of Adjustment members even understood or knew the code, because it wasn't even updated on the county code on the website. So don't know about if they understand exactly what the intent was. But it was very interesting, because you had one builder that came in, did the first one, requesting it on an empty lot, needing variances for a bigger house. But I just went outside, had a cigarette, came back in, had a few more minutes to sit. Well, that same builder came back with another one, case later on in the afternoon, which, quite honestly, and this, I didn't even know that there was another one, but I asked in the front, the first case is, with all the undeveloped lots or the empty lots in this, is this just an automatic now for everyone that's proceeding? If you have an open lot, just come in and we're giving you the variance. Where does it stop? Well, later on that night, the builder came back in with another one. Somehow he managed to re-alter the plans, and now he didn't need the variance for the one part. So he actually made it to fit. So if the first one couldn't fit, why did a smaller lot, the builder put a, have plans for another house that would fit on the smaller lot? So it's like, it's not apples and oranges. If you're coming in for something, it should fit. And I really don't understand why the director of planning does not step up and offer the intent to the county or go through it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is that your paper up here you left up front?
Can I get this to you?
Sure, you can.
I don't know if you've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Dan Kramer.
I got a place for one thing. Big smoke.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, I got a good name for the Board of Adjustments. It's called the Five Stooges. They are just like this. It's well worthwhile listening to them because they're a laugh and a half more than a barrel full of monkeys, because they sit there and have no clue on how to vote or anything else, and they go back and forth, and then a guy, like he just said, how can you say that it's a hardship because the guy wants to build a huge house that doesn't fit on the lot, but in a, but he needs to exit 2 foot in a place that you guys just passed an ordinance that said you can't have anything in it. Well, explain to me, there's a square. If it doesn't fit in that square, oh, it'll fit, because all you got to do is build a smaller house and everything's good, fine, and dandy. You have no excuse to come in for a variance of any sort if it's not, doesn't fit. Guess what? Build it smaller, then it will fit. But the guy wanted it on a cockeyed angle, so it's not going to fit. And also, the fact that they come in and they say, well, we're here for X, and all of a sudden the attorney says, oh, I see you also need Y and Z, but you haven't applied for it. And the guy Lala says, yeah. Well, wait a minute. The attorney says, okay, we'll just fix it tonight. Wrong. Absolutely not correct. Why not? It's not been advertised. But they just go ahead and give it to the people. When it should be, go back through the process, and the guy paid for it. He should have had it on there to start with, not after the fact. And all that stuff needs to be changed, period. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have a consent agenda, two items. Wastewater agreement number 892-4, Sussex County project number 81-04, Marsh Farm Estates off-site DLDOT work in the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. And number two, wastewater agreement number 1026, Sussex County project number 81-04, Tidal Walk, AKA Back Creek, the South Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those two? Not entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for August 14, 2018, item number one. I am pleased to announce that the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada has awarded Sussex County its Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting for the 2017 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, known as CAFR. This is the 16th consecutive year that the county has received this prestigious award acknowledging the financial report. The award is among the highest forms of recognition for governmental accounting and financial reporting. Congratulations to Gina Jennings, Finance Director and Chief Operating Officer, and Kathy Roth, Deputy Finance Director, and the accounting staff for their efforts in achieving this award. Item 2, applications for the Fiscal Year 2019 Human Service Grant Program are now being accepted. The Human Service Grant Program provides grants to countywide nonprofit agencies for the purpose of enhancing health and human services, which contribute to a safe, healthy, and self-sufficient community. Funds provide grants that assist organizations with resources in support of programs or capital purchases. To be eligible for a grant, organizations must fill out an application, which is available on the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov. Deadline for filing grant requests is Friday, September 28th. Item number 3, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for July 2018 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 195 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of July. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Well, we're 1 minute away, and we'll move down to Councilman Burton. Discussion and possible reduction of proposed ordinance relating to wetlands and density calculation.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had this placed on the agenda 2 weeks ago, and then I removed it for further consideration. And the reason is that this ordinance is just it's not easy to write. I mean, there are wetlands in this the wetlands in this county are everywhere, and in many different forms. My intention is not to change the value of the farmlands in the county. In fact, this will have a minimum impact on most farmlands being developed. My intention is to relook at how density is calculated using unbuildable state-determined wetlands. These are areas around our rivers and streams that all of us understand deserve special consideration. It does not make sense to me to have a possible density of from 2 to 12 units per acre, with lots beginning at 7,500 square feet, to have multifamily, single family, condos, RPCs, and other types of zoning, and then allow the density calculation to include lands that cannot be physically built on. This just makes no good common sense to me. Revising the density calculation was mentioned in our 2008 comprehensive land use plan and the one before that. It is also addressed as a strategy in our new comprehensive draft plan. So this concern has been on the books for 15 plus years. We were all elected to listen, think, ask questions, and then act. It is certainly time to bring this ordinance forward for public input and a vote by County Council. I welcome input, and I will open it up for discussion. Thank you.
Is Janelle here? Oh, no, I was just going to say, is Janelle here?
Janelle is in Dover, along with Mr. Robertson, attending the Cabinet Committee meeting presenting our comprehensive land use draft.
Okay. I was just making sure we were clear on maybe Everett, then maybe he's very familiar also, but state and title wetlands, Everett?
Yes.
Go ahead whenever you're ready. Same thing?
The state wetlands are the wetlands that are designated around the river streams and flow into bodies of water.
Would they, so tidal wetlands and, I mean, there's all these, there's freshwater wetlands, which are federal 404 wetlands and are state wetlands, and then tidal wetlands yeah. would be the state and
I believe that's
correct.
They're
the same, okay.
And there is a different designation, too, of some federal wetlands designations that are in the ag areas, and those are not included in this ordinance as it's drafted.
Okay. Share with us then, currently right now, the county, how do we address calculating wetlands currently? What do we do?
If it is a wetland area, it is included in the density.
Whether it's freshwater or
right.
tidal, any wetlands is now is used for calculations.
Yeah, that's correct. And this would take out those areas along the streams, rivers that are those type of wetlands. They will no longer be allowed.
That are deemed tidal.
That is correct. Well, deemed state wetlands. If they're designated state wetlands, they would not be included in the calculation.
Okay. We don't have, you don't, Todd, you don't have the ability to pull up the state wetlands map on our, or have, or know how to do it?
I do know how to do it, and I think we have the ability. Putting those two together right now, let me try, and I'll
okay, well, yeah, just, so right now, anybody, you buy a piece of ground, and so it doesn't matter what's on it, you just calculate the total square footage, and you get your density. Is that the way it works here in Sussex County?
Yes.
When you do a subdivision, under our subdivision ordinance, where there's minimum lot sizes, and you have to create the roads and lots, et cetera, and you had 100 acres, right, and you have, say, 20 acres of wetlands, none of those lots are created in the wetlands, or if they are, they're incorporated into a lot that had some uplands.
There could be some wetlands that would be in the lot. This does not address that because that would be by buffer ordinance. However, the wetlands themselves can be used to calculate the overall density. They can be built on the upland portion.
Right.
And this takes that
ability away. But they're basically restricted because there's a minimum lot sizes in the MR or AR subdivision, right? And so you're really, you don't get what you could get if you go to multifamily or some other type of housing, right? Because then you can actually truly benefit from the total acreage and get your density calculation. But where when you do a subdivision, you get much less. Is that fairly true?
That would be true unless there was an RPC or some kind
but
of
to say, just the straight subdivision ordinance, which is what your permitted use is. Anything else, you've got to get approvals.
Right,
so it's all that's permitted in an AR or MR is a subdivision of single-family homes on minimum lot sizes, which really you can't develop those wetlands. So you'll get a lesser number, but what we're seeing now is because of we've provided the flexibility and the creativity and all this other stuff with cluster housing and RPCs and conditional uses that they can then use that way to get the max out the density. Is what we typically see nowadays.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get a feel of if we are going to impact, because I think we need to impact personally. I think that I don't see any reason to calculate state wetlands. Definitely state wetlands. And on freshwater wetlands, if they're isolated, I understand there's little pockets that are isolated. But if there's a large, tract of freshwater wetlands, we shouldn't be calculating something that's contiguous with, other parcels and everything else. So I share some of your concerns. I might be a little more extreme, possibly, in Sam's mind, on the way I would approach it.
The difficulty there is writing it, right? So where do you, where do you draw the line? And it just, there's just wetlands everywhere.
Yeah, but not state. State wetlands are only,
state wetlands.
State wetlands, like I said, I understand that, and I think what we're seeing now are parcels of ground coming in with wetlands that are not state wetlands. So we're allowing all the calculation of all that, and but if you have state wetland, freshwater wetlands, federal, on your site, and you're just going to do an AR subdivision, which is what's permitted. You're not going to be in there building houses. You're not going to put roads in there. You're not going to do anything in there. You're going to stay out of it totally, which automatically reduces the allowable density.
But it's hard to quantify that in an ordinance form. And I don't think it's fair to, you got ungulation in the land, and you got a low spot over here that's has water collected in it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to take that out of the density calculation just because it's a low area in the field.
It would only be taken out if it was designated. See, they'll go in. They have to go in and identify. They hire people, professionals go in, and they identify wetlands, correct? Every project we see has, isn't that right, Everett?
Yes.
They're always identified. So that low spot you're talking about, if it's not identified as freshwater wetlands, it's... you know, it can be developed, right?
But it could be.
But as any farmer knows, Sam, you never build on the low point of a.
It could be a bottomland.
You don't want to build a house in bottomland, do you, Sam?
Right.
I'm glad Sam's finally got you educated on this.
I know that.
There you go.
I know that.
32 years. 32 years,
finally.
George. Exactly.
Mr.
President, may I?
Mr. Arlett.
I guess ultimately I would ask the question. I mean, we've got a historical context, and I'm not going to disagree with anything you've really said, but I would go back to the, prior to that, is what ultimately is the goal is of the ordinance? That would be my question. And the question would be, is the goal to protect our environment and the waterways? I mean, is that ultimately what the goal is? Or I guess that's really my question is, and where did it stem from? Have we had issues? I mean, or is it just something that we're just trying to grapple? I'm just trying to figure out what's the context.
It's
and then,
all of the above, right?
Okay.
Is that by protecting these state water areas from the density calculation, you are then protecting the environment?
But do we have proof? Is there something somewhere saying that based on what this county has been doing for all these years, that has negatively impacted the environment?
No, I just look out the windshield.
Yeah, I know. I don't
well, but that's an opinion, but I'm actually looking
for... I understand
for,
that.
I'm
it's
actually
an
looking,
opinion.
Is there that's where I'm coming from. I mean, is there something that's out there that's saying the policy of this county for all those years on what they've done and how they've done things has negatively impacted the environment? Is there something out there that specifies that or states that?
We'd have to have DNREC here to bring up the studies. Yeah. There's all kinds of studies saying about stormwater runoff. There's about density and zero buffers from wetlands. Again, runoff and everything else. The water quality, it's gotten clear, but it's not. It's a different type of problem out there. We have really only addressed probably what this county has done the best of is with sewer service, going around the inland bays, and we have taken that type of pollution.
Right.
out of the water table and all that stuff, which feeds into all the streams. So that has been our major impact. But other than that, we got an environmentally sensitive development district that has encouraged development, increased density. And in my opinion, increased density and more, you know, runoff and more of everything in your environmentally sensitive developing district is not environmentally sensitive. You should have less. So we have been encouraging through our, we call it a development district, for all our previous land use plans to build as much as you want at high densities. And right now our roads can't handle it. I mean, we're maxed out. There's no, I see no future or nothing in the future is going to improve our transportation system in probably another two generations. It's just getting worse because we have proved such, you know, these higher densities. So the way I look at it, I don't know if IG looks at it. I look at it as, we've been providing because our your permitted use, your property rights, Sam, in an AR1 piece of ground is farm it or subdivision, which is what's the minimum lot square footage of a lot, Todd, in an AR district?
7,500.
7,500 square feet. Okay, you've got to have a 7,500 square foot lot, nothing smaller. So and you can't develop them in wetlands. There's no houses in wetlands. So by doing these other things, we permit. We've given additional densities all over the county.
Well, but that's the question. I mean, if the goal gets back down to the original goal, if the goal is to protect the environment, is there evidence out there that this would improve that? That's question that I would have as number one. Number two, what you're referring to is density, and does the density and the number of units on a particular parcel does that or has that directly impacted the quality of the environment in the surrounding area? And I don't know if they are related or not, or maybe they're separate animals and we're barking up the wrong tree in reference to the ordinance. I don't have the answer to the question. I'm just posing the question because if the goal of the ordinance is to protect the environment, which we all agree that we need to do so, will this do that? And is there evidence that the way this county has done their business all these years has negatively impacted the waterways and the environment? That's the question. That's all I'm asking.
I think if you polled the general public here in Sussex.
I'm not looking for opinions. We have to make decisions on facts.
I think the general opinion is,
you know,
all this development has had a negative impact on the environment. Would things be better if we had less density? less traffic, less impervious surfaces, less.
Right.
Things would be better.
But again, if that's the case, will this specific ordinance alter that? Or is there other things that can do or should do, or other agencies, Denrec and alike, that are more relevant in this, that solution? I don't know the answer. I'm just posing the question.
I say you research it and bring us some results.
Therefore, if we move forward with a public hearing, that's what we would want. That's the purpose of the public hearing.
And I'm going to ask...
Anything else, Council?
I'm going to ask Everett Moore to read the short title.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 3, Roman numerals, provisions applicable to all districts, Article 4, Roman numerals AR1 and AR2, agricultural residential districts, and Article 25, Roman numerals, supplementary regulations with respect to the calculation of permitted density.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Burton, introduce it. Now we'll see where we go. Let's back up now to our scheduled 10:15 public hearing, Burton Pond Community Expansion, Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Herring Creek area. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. President. Our planning director, utilities planning director, and the county engineer will be presenting this and make a couple of key points I'd like to point out. Due to the proximity of the proposed extension to the Herring Creek Sewer District area, but John will take you through the timeline.
Request for permission to prepare and post notices for the expansion was granted on July 17th. The annexation request was submitted by Davis Bowen and Friedel for their customers Burton Pond LLC for parcels 234, 1197, and 98 being Burton Pond itself, and 234-17-17. Notices were placed on the county website on July 31st. Expansion was posted on August 1st. To date, we've received one phone call questioning the impacts to the Herring Creek project, timeline, and costs. We'd like to state that the annexation does not negatively impact the timeline or the cost for the Herring Creek area project. And expansion, as it stands, consists of 211 acres, more or less, and property owners will be responsible for system connection charges of $6,360 per EDU based on current rates. A use of existing infrastructure agreement will be required for the sewer connection.
So as John pointed out, was that the Burton's Pond will connect to the existing infrastructure. There will be a use agreement, but it is separate, distinctly separate from the Herring Creek area. However, they will be part of it administratively, so part of the fees, the front-footed fees, will apply to this area. Now, as you may recall, can you highlight the piece which was in original? Originally, in the original referendum for the Herring Creek area, you had this particular parcel, which was originally a Tidewater CPCN, since then released, included in the district area for a vote for continuity. So that caused a number of email inquiries to the county engineer's office based on how is this extension related to what we're doing in the Herring Creek Sewer District area expansion. So as we pointed out initially, they are distinctly and separate. They don't affect each other. What's proposed today is 100% privately funded, including the infrastructure use agreement, including payment of all sewer connection charges, which, as you know, the Herring Creek District area, sewer connection charges are paid through the project. It's a USDA-funded project, so it is 100% different. Now, several people, especially in Pine Water and Herring Creek Estates, raise timeline issues. Will we be, let's say, diverting resources to work on this particular project versus the expansion? I answered all of them in the negative, assuring them all that our timelines in Herring Creek are not affected. So I want to say this before you open it up for the public hearing.
Thank you. Got a question to Council, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, just where the word number 67 is, that little stretch up there is, again, I'm just following up on this wetland conversation we just had. That's all wetlands.
Yes.
That little neck going up there, that yellow that shoots up there, right. It's all wetlands, correct?
It's all part of the pond. Actually.
Part of the pond, right.
It's wet.
I'm just curious. Why do you know why even include in a sewer district? Why don't we pull that out? Because 67 is actually a parcel, and that's the pond.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
is. The pond is a parcel.
The pond is a parcel.
Owned by somebody.
Owned by a private entity.
Bingo. Okay.
Actually, not. It's 98. This is actually the pond number. This is the parcel
okay. number for the pond. Okay. But again, just a question. I mean, are we doing the right thing by including, obviously, areas that are that can't be ever sewered and developed? Why do we even put them in? It gives the impression that it implies that it's you can develop it.
It's okay.
Councilman Cole, we always like to answer your question starting with the Cole rule. We don't bring anything before
Sounds
you.
Like the Biden rule? Oh.
I like the Cole rule better.
Okay.
We bring nothing before you unless it has land use approval.
Okay.
So the reason we included the pond is completely different. You remember the state law requires us to be contiguous.
Okay.
If the state law did not say exactly these words, continuity, we would not bring the pond in, or would not bring many of these parcels you've seen before, large state-owned parcels. We bring them in for no other reason but to have a continuous boundary for the sewer district.
Okay.
Other option is houseboats.
No, I just I don't know if it makes sense to do that.
It makes sense in the light of unless
because of what we're forced to do it, I guess.
Unless we sponsor a change to the law that we can jump over these kind of properties and still count it as common.
Yeah. Right.
The way it's currently written, it doesn't.
We cannot at this point.
State law, state code.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we could always ask to have it amended, right? And it would just stop this practice of including areas that are obviously undevelopable mm-hmm. to be in sewer districts.
It would make our life easier. So, I mean, like, I would certainly.
I mean, that's something.
Support that.
Yeah, that's something we should do.
Right. Any more questions of council? Okay, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We've already heard from Mr. Bendlars and Mr. Ashman. And is there any member of the public that would like to address this issue? If so, please come forward and sign your name at the podium and give us your name and address. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires closed public record.
We'll close the public hearing. And okay with council, close the public record. Ask Mr. Moore, I guess, to read, or somebody who's got the resolution. Mr. Ashman does. Read the short title of the resolution, please.
This is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Herring Creek area, to include several parcels of the Broken Pond, Hollow Mount Road area located in Indian River 100, Sussex County, Delaware, and recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Hopefully there's some buffers, IG, because this is we just approved is the headwaters of Herring Creek.
Mr. Jennings, Delaware Transit reimbursement.
Very sensitive area. And I'll bet you 10-1 we're not doing much to protect it.
Good morning, Mr. President. The item on the agenda under me is something we do every year. DART, a division of DelDOT, has allocated $796,850 for the funding of transportation expenses for various senior centers in Sussex County. This amount is the same as last year. The county's responsibility is to approve a recommended funding amount for fiscal year 2019 as per state law. This is an allocation of state grant funds to various senior agencies for transportation purposes. The recommended funding for each agency will be the same as in previous years and was included in the packet. I also included the request for each agency, and I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, ma'am.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the allocation of state funds to various senior agencies within Sussex County as presented.
Pleasure, council.
Do move.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Medlars.
He's back again.
He's back again.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, the county engineer is back again, like every week. Now we're doing something for the environment, Councilman Cole. I hope you find this very, very interesting.
No. I think that's good. That's our job.
I put my readers on here.
That's our job.
As you know, we have in the five-year